I remember a few years ago sitting with a group of lay people, all active members of my congregation. And I asked the group, how many of you have talked about your faith in God with someone outside the church in the past year? And only one woman raised her hand. But I guess that's understandable, isn't it? It's hard to talk about God. When we talk about God's mystery, words fail us. That's why the choir can convey things that I never could with words. How do we find words to describe that being, that deep experience that is so often so indescribable? Furthermore, I guess that there are powerful forces against speaking about God in our society, social mores, if we want to call them that. Years ago, William Buckley said, you may be able to bring up the subject of religion at a fancy dinner party once, but if you bring it up twice during the evening, you will not be invited back. There are powerful tendencies in our culture to keep religion private and personal. We don't want to be showy. We don't want to wear our faith on our sleeve. We, especially here in this nice suburban congregation, don't want to be accused of being pushy. So we find it very hard to speak about God. Well, Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, says that on the day of Pentecost, a day when Jews celebrated the gift of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, that is, the words of God given to humanity through the Bible, Jews from every nation were gathered together in one place. And they must have had trouble understanding one another because even though they all shared the same faith, they were separated by different languages. Well, the Spirit descends and people begin to talk and people begin to hear. They begin to hear people in that room. They said, how is it possible that I'm able to hear, to understand you, even though I speak a different language? It was a miracle. Well, by chance, there was a crowd out in the street who heard all of this commotion going on there in the room at Pentecost. And the crowd began to mock them. They said, they're drunk. For you see, earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus had been accused of being a glutton and a drinker. Well, the crowd outside in the street says those disciples are doing the same thing they were doing before when Jesus was with them. They're drunk again. So Peter comes out and he preaches to the crowd. You may think to yourself, Peter goes this? Do you remember where we left Peter toward the end of Luke's gospel? Peter had been the preeminent disciple, the one so boldly to speak up at the Last Supper, saying, even though everybody else deserts you, Jesus, and falls away, I'll be there right behind you, Jesus, when the going gets rough. Well, like the other disciples, he ran away into the darkness. Later that night, when a maid questioned Peter, weren't you one of the Galileans? Weren't you one of his followers? Peter denied Jesus, denied him three times. Out there in the middle of the night, when questioned by that humble servant girl, Peter could not find in himself the words to say, yes, I was with Jesus. Which makes it all the more amazing where we find Peter in today's lesson. There he is, out in the street, speaking to the crowd. Peter, the one who never seemed to get the answer right when Jesus asked a question. Peter, the one who could only say, I didn't know the man. And now Peter preaches. It's a miracle that the church now calls Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit descended in Acts 2, people started to speak. Jews from every nation under earth began telling of the mighty works of God in such a way that they were understood. And Peter came out into the street and he preached. And he must have preached one of the most effective sermons that has ever been uttered. The sermon lasted about 3 minutes. And yet a few thousand people were changed by that sermon. And they asked to be baptized. I suppose we preachers ought to learn something from that. Not the 3 minute part by any means. Well, the Holy Spirit descending at Pentecost brings things to speech. It makes ordinary people into preachers. Back at the beginning of Luke's gospel, when Jesus began his ministry, do you remember what he said there back in Nazareth? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Well, why is the Spirit upon me? Jesus answers as he continues to quote from Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the captives, deliverance to the oppressed, recovery of sight to the blind." The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus so that he might preach. In Luke and in Luke's second volume, the book of Acts, people get the Holy Spirit so that they can speak. Now, I talk for a living. And even though I have been doing this for well over 30 years now, and I'm not nearly as nervous, I still feel this rumbling in the pit of my stomach on Sunday morning. Now that's rather amazing when you consider the over 1,000 sermons that I've preached and how long I've been doing this. I'm therefore not too surprised to find out that when people are asked what human activity they fear the most, right there at the top of the list is public speaking. It's frightening to speak before a crowd, and the bigger the crowd, the more frightening it becomes. And when the speaking is about God, I have to assure you, it's frightening. How many times have I been amazed when we ask some professor or some attorney, Jim and Cindy, someone who is accustomed to speaking in public on a regular basis, to read the scripture on Sunday morning. And from my perspective up here, I watch, and you can see the person's knees shaking and his hands are shaking and he's a nervous wreck. Now that seems odd to me because these people are thoroughly accustomed to speaking in public. But this public speaking is of a different kind. This is public speaking about God, and that's a very different and frightening kind of experience. A number of years ago, I was at a conference for clergy put on by the Los Angeles Police Department. And I was sitting next to one of our judges in the community, and he was telling me about the history of the clothing that judges wear, because that was something we shared in common. He told me that in the early days of our republic, the American judges made a big deal out of not wearing wigs or robes at all. People in places of legal authority had a bad name to some of the American revolutionaries, and they didn't want to identify themselves with that. Well, as years went by and we moved into the 19th century, judges started putting on robes again in order to preside at court and make their judgments. I asked him why. He said, "When you're going to stand in judgment on somebody's life, you need all the help you can get. That robe helps me to get words out of my mouth." Well, as he said that, that kind of put my clerical vestments into perspective. Here I stand with this robe and this stole and all of these other accoutrements. Now I'm going to stand up here and speak for God. I need all the help I can get. But you know, you guys are lay people, right? What should you care about any of this? What is it to you? You pay me to preach the gospel. Now, you might have on occasion spoken at church or read the scripture, but I'm the preacher and you're the congregation, right? Well, you know the answer. That's wrong. It's like Martin Luther put it. He said, everyone by virtue of baptism is called to preach. All Christians are expected to speak the gospel to their neighbors, to testify to the mighty works of God, to tell people about Jesus. The thing is on Sunday morning, we can't all possibly speak at the same time and be understood. And so some of us are designated to be the preachers. Preachers are the ones who speak on Sunday morning so that the rest of you can speak about Jesus Monday through Saturday. The preacher preaches so that the congregation can preach. Like it or not, if you're a Christian, you're called to bear witness, to testify to the hope that is within you, to tell people about Jesus through your words and through your actions. That's what this team of 27 people is going to be doing for a whole week. Now, I have to admit that I have a much easier job as preacher than you do. See, when I preach, I'm protected by this robe and this stole and this pulpit. Everybody here is together in order to praise God, to hear the word of Scripture, to hear the word preached. I don't have to ask you for permission. That's why we're all here. But you know, tomorrow when you get out into the classroom or the boardroom or the office or even the kitchen table, preaching then becomes much more difficult. Nevertheless, by the grace of God, you are able to preach. Jesus had been raised from the dead and shown to be Lord and Savior. But nobody knew how to talk about it. Few possessed the courage to speak about such a thing. And then the Holy Spirit descended, and things were brought to speech. People began to talk, to talk to one another, to talk to people out in the streets. As Peter says in today's scripture, all of this was predicted by the prophet Joel. In former days, God's word was spoken only by the prophets, a few charismatic or at least offensive individuals who were called to speak the truth or to speak up for God. But the prophet Joel foretold a day when I will pour out my spirit on all, upon the young and upon the old, upon the men and women, maids and janitors, and everybody is going to tell of the mighty works of God. Well, that promised outpouring of the Spirit that turns otherwise quiet people who are not good on their feet into preachers, that Spirit has come. As a preacher, I have been privileged to hear you preach and to see in your lives preaching that is phenomenal. And I urge you in these next 2 weeks to pray for this team who goes forth in your name. That sort of thing takes guts. No, actually, that sort of thing takes empowerment by the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and preach. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Amen.